So let's start with where the Gemara begins, and the that picks up from where we left off on last Sunday. The Gemara starts with the question of Ha'isha Niknes, Ma'ish Nahosan D'Tani Isha Niknes, and Ma'ish Nahosan D'Tani Ish Mekadesh. We've got a precedent in the Gemara further on to be able to use the word Mekadesh in the Mishnah. So we have another Mishnah on Daf Mem Aleph where the Mishnah uses the word Mekadesh. Why would we use the word Niknes here and not the word Mekadesh? So how do you understand that? What's the Gemara's question? So there are two words, there's Mekadesh and there's Niknes. So what's the difference which one we use? Whatever one you use, you'll say, why not the other one? Why is the Gemara concerned that we're using Ha'ishon Niknes rather than Ha'ishon Miskadeshes? How do you understand that? What's the Gemara's kasha? Sorry? Well, then why doesn't the Gemara rather say there? Why doesn't it say Niknes there? Which we deal with later on, but initially it's unusual for the Gemara just to pick on a word and say, why doesn't it say whatever you're going to say? You could say that there's another word, but based on what we've learned so far, how would you understand the Gemara's kasha? Based on how we understood Shitas Rashi, how would you understand the Gemara's kasha? Remember, Shitas Rashi was the way we're evolving it so far, and it might still go through some further iteration, but the way we understand Shitas Rashi now is that the Amira of Harayat Mekudeshes is something that stands on its own. That's what's really happening at this time. The Kinyan is one of the mechanisms. We said that you need a Kinyan because you can't be Mekadesh something that isn't yours. So she has to give up her right to choose. She gives up her right to choose by means of the Kinyan, and that facilitates his ability to say Harayat Mekudeshesli. But what's really happening is Kiddushin. What's really happening is Kiddushin. The Kinyan is just the facilitator. And in that discussion, it's important also that you don't think of it as in a linear sense, that first you've got to do the Kinyan, and then you can do the Kiddushin. These two things happen simultaneously. At one and the same time, two things are happening parallelly. There's a Kinyan and there's the Amira of Kiddushin. So there's he acquires rights, and everybody else loses rights. She becomes Asuro, so Isurim start to apply to her, and rights start to apply to him in a sense, and that happens at the same moment. And we'll see which is the cause and which is the effect, but the way we understood in Rashi, they're two different things. She has to give up her rights to make a choice, and he, with a woman who has given up those rights to make a choice, can say, Harayat Mekudeshes, that you are Mekudeshes. But according to Rashi, what's really happening is... Sorry? In what way? But you're right, by the fact that he's saying in a unit, yeah, there's a whole lot of stuff, you're right, there's a whole lot of things happening simultaneously at that particular time. And saying, Harayat Mekudeshesli, which applies the Kiddushin, and that's simultaneous, that's all happening at exactly the same time. So according to the way we've understood Rashi, the Gemara's Kasha makes perfect sense. So what's really happening is Kiddushin. Kinyan is one of the mechanisms, but what's really happening is Kiddushin. If Kiddushin is what's really happening, then let's say Ha'isha Miskadeshes. Let's say what's really happening. Why the focus on Niknes? And the other approach is the way we started off, and one of the questions that we asked at the beginning of the last discussion was that Niknes seems to be such a funny word to use with a human being. Certainly with them, we're not even talking about Avodim, we're talking about a woman and a wife. Niknes implies acquisition, it implies trading. It's just such an odd word to use when there's an alternative. And when what's really happening is something as elevated as Kiddushin, why use a word like Niknes? And I think I mentioned to you that the Tosfos Chachmei Anglia learned it that way. And so it's actually demeaning. The word Niknes is demeaning. Why use a demeaning word when you can use such a complimentary word? When you can say Miskadeshes, why use Niknes? It just doesn't seem to make any sense that you would do that. So the Gemara says, it's quite a strange answer also, Mishum b'kaboyele misni kesef. Kesef minalan, so we want some reasons, because kesef is one of the kinyonim. But kesef minalan, and where do we know that kesef works? Goma kicho kicho misdei Ephron. We learn from Sdei Ephron that where the word kicho is used, and the word kicho is used in Kiddushin, ki yikach ish isho. So we learn from that a kind of exeret shove. Tosfos says it's not a complete exeret shove, it's just a kind of a connection. It says in the one case, if a man should take a wife, and here it says, take the money and give me the field. And although, as Tosfos explains, that in the case of ki yikach ish isho, the lokeach is the man, and he's acquiring the woman. In the case of stay Ephron, the kichel goes that the lokeach is actually the seller. Isn't that right? He's saying, kach mimeni, take the money. Not I will take the field. So it's not really 100% of a parallel at all. It's just a common usage of a word that is unusual, and that common usage implies certain parallels, like that of a gzera shova, but not a complete gzera shova. The kichu ikri kinyan. So now that we say that the word kichu is used, that the word kichu used in Kiddushin links to the kicho used in Sode, and the word kicho used in Sode is a kinyan, dichtiva Sode asher kono Avrohom. That field which Avrohom bought, and it uses the word kono, and what was the Loshen used when he bought it? He used the Loshen kicho. So from there you see that when we talk about a kinyan, about kesef, by a woman, it is kinyan. So that's what we're really learning here. This is not the source Rashi points out. This is not where we learn the whole thing from.
Yeah, sorry. Also, the language of Kikha speaks of Shinya Rishis.
Right.
She's losing, she is giving up voluntarily. She describes so beautifully. She's giving up her bilis over herself.
Right.
At least in terms of this.
Her rights to choose.
So here, Kikha, he is acquiring the ability to be Kaddish her. So that is. Kicha speaks of that
shini
rishus of those
sabbis. Yeah, so the kicha is not such a problem. What's interesting is how the Gemara goes so far out of its way to show that kicha that we have by a woman, that ki yikach ish isho, is called kinyan. So that a woman is nikneis bekesef, that we know, and we're going to learn again on the Daf Gimel Amud Beis and on Daf Dalet Amud Beis. We're going to go through the whole question of a woman being able to be acquired by kesef. That's not the discussion here. So that's a given for a moment. We know that an isha can be nikneis bekesef. So the Gemara is not trying to say here the reason it says nikneis is because, to teach us that she's nikneis bekesef. That's not the point. The point is to teach us that kinyan kesef, by which a marriage takes place, is called a kinyan. What's interesting is that the Gemara considers that a chiddush. It's not poshut. So, we know that kesef is a kinyan. You can be, it's one of the ways that you can be koine. We know that. We know that you can be koine sode be kesef. And we even know that we can be koine in isho be kesef. That we're going to learn further on. The chiddush here is that kesef is called a kinyan. Why is that a chiddush? Because that's what we're learning here. We're learning that the kesef that we're talking about here is actually that the Loshen Kinyan is valid when you're talking about the kesef that a man gives a woman b'shas kiddushin. That's the chiddush. The Gemara is saying, don't take that so for granted that's called a kinyan. Yes, a man has to give a woman kesef, but that kesef is actually a kinyan, that we learn from the Gezeirah Shor. That kesef may not be a kinyan. What would it be if it isn't a kinyan?
Usually when it comes to kinyan, there's got to be like a mashiach, some sort of physical.
Well, kesef is one of them. But kesef is one of them. You can be...
The chiddush here, that kesef is one of the mighty kinyan.
No, that kesef is a kinyan, that we learn elsewhere. That you can use kesef by a sode, we learn. That you can use kesef even by an isho, we learn. So that you can use kesef as the kinyan, that we learn elsewhere. Whether for an isho or for others. The chiddush here is that this act of giving money under the chuppah, this act of giving money at the time of kiddushin is called kinyan. That we learn from the gezeira shova kicho kicho. So it's not so poshut. Achronim, we want to learn that it isn't a kinyan. That's an act of nesino. That he has to give her money, but it's not. It doesn't work like other kinyonim. Be that as it may, what we see from the Gemara is that yes, it is a kinyan. It's considered a kinyan, but that's not so poshut. Don't take it so for granted. So moving us away from the idea that he's buying her. It's not so poshut that he's buying her. It's not so poshut that that's the role of the money. In fact, we need psukim to tell us that that you can use the word kinyan to describe that transaction. That when a man gives a woman money as an act of kiddushin, the fact that you can call that a kinyan at all, we need psukim for. That's the amazing thing. That the act of the giving money at kiddushin, because there are other parts of kiddushin, is called a kinyan. Inam yisodus bekesef yiknu. So once we know that the money given for a field is called a kinyan, loshen kinyan, we can apply that using kicho kicho to say the money given to a woman is also called kinyan, as strange and as unusual as that sounds. So there's a reason to say it's not a kinyan.
Doesn't the Gemara, and the Tosfos later that at the top of Daf Beis, it talks about the also of Kulam Kekdis, it talks about the unique properties of this, that it may be like a kinyan, but it's not really like a kinyan at all. Like Gemara then comes to tell us that it has its own properties, that the Lishon of the Rabbanan, we need to use the other Lashon of
absolutely right,
because it is different.
Absolutely right. So based on what we learned last week, we're beginning to see it come together. So when we learned last week the idea of Kiddushin, that there's an element that takes place simultaneously that is something different to Kinyan. There's a change of status in the woman. It's not just the change of ownership. Kinyan is only a change of ownership. This is not a change of ownership. She doesn't get an owner. He's not an Odin, you remember. He's a Baal, and a Baal and an Odin are different. There's a Rashi in Ksubis, which we'll see further on, where Rashi says when we talk about the Chinom en Kesef en Kesef Odin Zeh, where the Gemara wants to learn that when an amo goes out, there's no payment of money, but there is payment of money when a young girl goes out of her father's rishus. And Rashi says a girl that only has two adonim. There's an amo can have an adon. If she's sold as an amo, she has an adon, and her father is an adon. But you see from that Gemara, her baal is not an adon, and there's a difference between an adon and a baal. So it's not as if he's being kohen; he's not gaining ownership. So this really becomes quite important in understanding what is happening here. He's not, and here's where the Torah law differs so radically from other ancient legal systems. In other ancient legal systems, it was property, and still today in certain legal systems, an issue is property of the man. In Torah, it's not so at all. Baal is not odin, and kinyan issues is not an acquisition. He does not own her. He's not an Odin. He doesn't own her. And it's a chidush that the kesef that he gives her is even called a kinyan, because he's not getting her. He's not buying her. So what is it? Well, we'll see what it is. But at the moment, in the first blot of the Masechta, really, we're opening issues rather than closing them. We're not gaining clarity yet on what these things are. We're almost learning what they are not. So don't take it so for granted that when a man gives a woman kesef at the time of Erusin, that's a kinyan. We have to learn that that's a limud to say that that's a kinyan. Not so poshut that that's a kinyan. And what is it? We don't know exactly what it is. Kiddushin, Lashon Rabbanan, the other things going on, but it's not so poshut that it's a kinyan.
Can I just ask you another question about this Lashon of kinyan? By the way, it says, V'konet atma b'chalitza b'misos abba, b'misos hayibim. So I just want to try to understand over here, if kinyan is an end result, a status, and then I can understand that, but if kinyan is a process, what does it mean? How does it mean that she's kone et atzmash? I mean, not to be a little bit humorous here, but we're not encouraging women to commit murder over here, right? I mean, the guy dies, she didn't do anything.
Yeah, so we'll see on the next page also where the Gemara says
that. Where was she kone et atzmash when he died?
So what did we say? He acquires? To choose, that's all it is. The right to choose a husband is the only thing that is being traded. That's all that is being traded here.
So it's not
that we said already last week. All that is being, as Rashi says, the koines atzma liyos birushusa liyinosalacha, four lines on top of the page, all that she's acquiring is her right to marry who she chooses. So that's the only thing that she gave up when she got married, and that's what she acquires when she when the marriage is terminated, no matter how the termination takes place. So if you look at the Rashi, Umayishno Hosam Beferik Sheni the Tana Ha'ish Mekadesh Boyu Vishlucho, there it says Ha'ish Mekadesh Nisni Hocho Ha'ish Miskadeshes. So that the focus here is the Loshen, we're happy to stay in the passive form. That's not what the Gemara is discussing at the moment. And the Rishonim ask, why doesn't the first question, why doesn't the Gemara ask, why do we say Ha'ish Niknet and not Ha'ish Koinet?
Yeah.
Why don't we start with Ha'ish, which the Gemara deals with later on? But isn't that the first question? Because the first word is Ha'isha. So why don't we start with the first word? But based on what we've learned so far and how we understood it last week is, that's the most glaring thing. When you look at the Mishnah, the thing that jumps out of you at you is Niknes. That's the thing that's completely odd. And that's why Rashi emphasizes the question here is not on the fact that it says there Ha'ish Mekadesh, and so here also it should say Ha'ish Mekadesh. No, says Rashi, that's not what we're troubled about yet. At this point, all we're troubled about is the use of the word Niknes instead of the use of the word Miskadeshes, which would be a more accurate description of what's taking place. Since we see that it's not so clear that it's even a Kenyan, we need limudim that it's a Kenyan. So that would be a more accurate description of what takes place, and it would be a more respectable description of what's taking place, rather than talking about as if one's trading. Then the Gemara says, "Mishum de kaboy le misne kesef," says Rashi, "Behani kinyonim v'amin le kaman kesef minana de niklis bo mepashim de gamrin and kicho kicho misne efren dekru kinyan hilkech tana hache kinyan." So stay efren is called a kinyan. That's why we call this a kinyan. Gemara doesn't say we call it a kinyan because kesef is a kinyan. Why doesn't the Gemara just say we're talking about three kinyonim? Kesef, shtar, and bia are three kinyonim. So what's wrong with niklis? So we see it's not so simple that these things are called kinyonim, that these things are described as kinyonim. They could be maisa kiddushin. And why are they called? So the fact that they're called a kinyon, that's a kiddush. That we learn from sukim. The chesef minalan, and where do we learn from kesef? Lav hacha kaboyilo. That's not the question of the Gemara, is not saying, where do we learn from kesef? That we're going to do further on. El lakaman. V'hochi hai metaretzko amala. This is part of the explanation. The kula milta. The whole thing is one flowing statement. Mishum de kaboy le misne kesef. Kesef minalan yafin lekaman mikicho v'kicho loshin kinyonu. Hilkach tani ha'isho nikneis. To teach us that an isho is that this kinyan kesef that we're talking about, one may refer to as kinyan, even though that seems a little bit odd. That we learn from this psukim, and that's what's being said at this point. So let's go further in the Gemara. No, other than that we're going to do something which in many ways looks like a commercial transaction. We're going to use kesef, and kesef has a role as kesef, as a form of transaction. Right. So says the Gemara, so v'nisni hosom ha'ish koine. So if that's the case, then let's use koine. Here we come unto consistency. This is the ongoing relationship. You're right. V'nisni hosom ha'ish koine. So then let's be consistent and say ha'ish koine over there. So mikora tani lishna d'oraisa, v'nibasev tani lishna d'rabona. Here the Gemara introduces the idea that there's a lishna d'oraisa and there's a lishna d'rabona. When the Torah talks about kiddushin, it talks about kicho. When the Rabbonin talk about kiddushin, they talk about loshin kiddushin. Umay lishna d'rabonin, and what is the meaning of this lishna d'rabonin that's mekudesha? So why do they add a layer of meaning? Why don't the Rabbonin also use kicho? Answers the Gemara, the osa lo akula alma kehekdesh. Here the Gemara introduces the fact that in the case of kicho, in the case of a kinyan isho, here for the first time in the Gemara, we've had it in Rashi, but this is the first time in the Gemara we have the introduction of the idea that two things, or at least two things, are happening simultaneously. Not only is there some form of transaction which gives him certain rights, but what's happening at the same time is that Isurian, so she's going through a change of status. That's something that doesn't happen in any other Kenyan, which also explains a little bit further as to why we need Psukim to tell us that this you can even use the word Kenyan, because Kenyan usually means change of ownership. And here there isn't a change of ownership. Here there is a change of status. And that the Kenyan changes status, that's something new for us.
Can you
saying before, last year you said about the Yavama, that there's no domestic kibushin. So, the fact that she's kana satsma, through the chalitza, because there's no transformation, occurs with the chalitza.
Right.
So that's where it really occurs.
That there's a kind of asma b'mitzvah sabal as well. Isn't she kind of asma also with mitzvah sabal? So there is also a change. Because then you mean if she doesn't have children, she carries on. There's no actual change of status, right? Right. 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 So let's look at the second Tosfos. That's the Da'osa lo akula alma kehekdesh. We also see in the Gemara for the first time the basis of what we were learning in Shitas Rashi last week, and that is the idea of Hekdesh. That the Gemara is not afraid to bring in the idea of Hekdesh. And what is that idea of Hekdesh? Why bring in the idea of Hekdesh? So one is the Osa La Akula Alma, that there's an element of Isur. But why use the idea of Hekdesh? What's it telling us? So what we see over here, and the beauty of what's happening, is the power of the human being to alter, to create a reality by means of an amira. That's what Nadorim are about. And that's what Hekdesh is about. That you can actually change the quality of an object with nothing but a word. That when you articulate a thought into a word, a reality is created that wasn't there before. That's an incredibly powerful concept and something that's probably unique to Torah. The idea that you can articulate a word. So where would you have other examples of by articulating a thought you create a reality? So Hekdesh would be one. You can be maskir. So maskir is ownership. So that by means of a word you can change ownership, that's like a contract. And Hefker is a little bit different. So that idea is not unique to Torah. That you can change ownership through words, that's the power of contract. Two people reach an agreement, they record their agreement in words, whether in writing or in front of an aide, and that changes ownership. That one can understand, but Hekdesh is not just a change of ownership. Hekdesh is a change of halacha, a change of reality. Where else would we have it? Nedarim would be by Bitul Chometz, so you're actually creating a kind of a change, although it flows from a change of ownership. What else can you think of? Kiddush HaChodesh, right? Where it's the statement of when the Chachom actually say Mekudesh, that's what creates Rosh Chodesh, and from that flow a whole lot of other realities. Where else? That you can be Mekadesh Shabbos, you can bring Shabbos in early, and the Metzias of Shabbos, where all the halachas of Shabbos start. Another example of it. These are all examples. How about Tefillah? What's happening when you mispala? So the one thing you could say is, the one way of looking at tefillah is, let's say tefillah for a moment. So what's one of the things that happens with tefillah? You could say, there's a Ribbono Shel Olam up there, and I'm asking the Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm communicating with the Ribbono Shel Olam, and that's true. We are communicating with the Ribbono Shel Olam, we are asking the Ribbono Shel Olam for things. But it's quite interesting, if you look at the Loshon of the Shmona Esra, where do you find Loshon Bakosha? Is the Shmona Esra written in Loshon Bakosha? So some of it is. And then how does each one of those end? Baruch Atah Hashem. The actual bracha at the end is a statement of a reality, isn't it? It's not a bakosha. It's not Baruch Atah Hashem Hachoinen Das, or Sheyichoinen Das. At the end, each day is a statement. It's a statement of how it is. It's almost a mitzvah. By the time you get to the end of the bracha, you're actually visualizing it done. And if you go through each of the brachas, there's a visualization of something you want as an outcome, and then there's a statement of it almost as if it's done. So part of what you visualize when you mispaddle, part of what you visualize is the outcome, how the world would be if this was all done. And that's part of...
You're also telling me, you're saying, I'm asking you to be Chonein Yomir for Chachman Linovidas because you are the Chonein Adas. So, when you come into the store and you say, I want to buy a blender, and they say, sorry, we only sell socks, then you're in the wrong place. You go to the restaurant and say, I know you give das,
And that's what I'm asking.
Yeah, so I'm taking it a step further with that. It's not just complimenting the Ribbono Shel Olam, the complimenting we've already done in Psukei Dezimra. We're getting into Shmoneh Esrei, we're getting into a statement of what Da'as is, where Da'as comes from, and the bringing of Da'as into reality. So with each of those brachas, when we make a statement, when we articulate, and that's why tefillah has to be articulation. It doesn't work just to have kavanah. You have kavanah as well, but tefillah has to be just articulation. And in most tefillahs, the articulation is even more important than the kavanah. The moment you've articulated something, it becomes a reality in terms of a force. There's a force in the world. Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara is not just you've said something. Lashon Hara creates a force in the world. Once it's articulated, once something is said, there is a force, there's an energy in the world. And the source of it all is the Asorah Ma'amoris Nivra Ha'ilam, isn't that so? That the world was created, reality was created out of Ma'amoris with the Ribbono Shel Olam. However we want to understand that, the articulation of an idea in the form of words gives a force to the idea which makes it real. And once the idea is real, the idea has all sorts of powers within it. And Hekdesh is one of the primary examples of it, because a lot of Kiddush HaKodesh and Kiddush HaShabbos and all of those come from Hekdesh. The power is a power of Kiddushah. To be Mekadesh, that you can be Mekadesh something through the articulation of words, is an enormous power that the human being has, which can be used destructively, as with Lashon Hara and Shikorin. And it can be used constructively as in the case of Hekdesh. So here, by the case of Kiddushin, we once again see that there's something happening, that the articulation, the Amiro, does more than just clarify the Kinyan. That the Amiro itself plays a role somewhat like Hekdesh. Now Tosfos, remember we've been learning Tosfos' view that the main thing is the Kinyan. And the purpose of the Dibur is really to clarify what's going on in the Kinyan. So here, Rashi says, the Torah is going like the Beshita Taramba. Also like Kula Alma Kehetish, Vahare at Mekudeshis Li, Kloimar. What does that mean? Hare at Mekudeshis Li? Li is, what's the Hektish here? You're saying Li. What's that got to do with Hektish? Hektish, you Mekadish something to Shemayim. So if he was Mekadish the woman, then she should be also to everybody. She should belong to the Beis Hamikdash. What are we talking about? What's this got to do with Hektish? Kloimar. Li yus Li Mekudeshis Le'oilom Bishvili. So what Mekudeshes here means is that because of me, she is Mekudeshes to everybody else. So Li doesn't mean to me. According to the way Tosfos understands here, Li means because of me. Harayat Mekudeshes la'olam, you are Mekudesh, you are also to the world. Because Mekudeshes has a lotion of Isu, as the Gemara said. Lishna de Rabbanon, de osa lo akula alme. So you're also to the whole world. That's what Mekudeshes means. You are Mekudeshes klape the rest of your world. So your relationship to the rest of the world is one of Isur. Why Bishvili? It's because of me. The same as you do by Hekdesh. You say this belongs to Hashem, and because it belongs to Hashem, it's also to everybody else. In the same way, you are dedicated to me, and because of that exclusivity, you are also to everybody else. So the Isur is an outcome of the Kinyan, the way we would learn here. The act of dedication to me is what it is, and that creates Isur. Upashta de milta. And a simple way of understanding it is that Mekudeshes li miyuchedes li umzumenes li. Mekudeshes can mean something else. Mekudeshes has a lotion of Isur, and Mekudeshes has a lotion of dedication, a singular dedication. And if you learn it that way, then the li means to me. So the two ways that Tosfos is learning is, how do you explain li? Does li mean Mekudeshes li, you are Mekudeshes to me, or you're Mekudeshes to the world? If Mekudeshes means Isur, then Mekudeshes li means you're Mekudeshes to the world because of me. If Mekudeshes means dedicated, then you are dedicated to me, and therefore also to the world. So probably a little bit differently from the way I you would almost say that these two ways of learning in Tosfos are directionally different. So the first one is, you are Mekudeshes, you have Isur. That's what's happening here. You're becoming Asa to the world. Why are you also to the world? Because you're, through that, I can be Mekadesh to be my wife. The other way is, you are my wife. The result of that is, you're also for the world. So you find in the Achronim they talk about the fact that depending on how you say it, what lashon you use, you can alter the direction. You can make her also to the world thereby permitting her to you, or you can permit her to you thereby making her also to a world. Because an isha, there isn't a nafkamina. There isn't a big nafkamina. It's interesting. There was once a big time in when the Talmidim used to ask him that question. He used to say, the nafkamina is what the emes is. So you're right. Sometimes you look at something because you want to be mevarer because there's an nafkamina lahaloch, and we might find nafkaminas in this as we go along. And sometimes it's just a matter of clear understanding what actually is happening here. Where is this coming? What's the origin of this? Is there an isur that is created? Is that what the act of kiddushin is? It's the creation of isur. And now that there's an isur, again, don't think of it linearly, that first the one happens, and once that happens, and the other happens, because they're happening simultaneously, but which is cause and which is effect? Is the nature of kiddushin one of isur, which allows him access, or is the nature of kiddushin one of access, which causes isur as a result of that? What is clear is that kiddushin is a unique kinyan, because it's the only kinyan that, other than hekdesh, that doesn't allow, or that brings isur with it, that there's such non-exclusivity. That the moment she's mutter to him, she becomes also to that she cannot be mutter to him and to other people too. She can, and in order for her to be mutter to him, she's got to be also to everybody else. But what is the cause? So at this point, let's just understand it in terms of trying to appreciate what is really happening here. What is the core? What is the trigger? Is the act of kiddushin the creation of isurim, somewhat like hekdesh, the result of which is the heter to himself? Or is the act of kiddushin an acquisition of certain rights, the consequences of which are that she's no longer okay for anybody else? But both of these are still within Shitas Tosfos. The way we were learning Rashi is that the Amira goes way beyond that. That's all just the kinyan. But the Amira doesn't flow out. The Isra, according to the way we've learned in Rashi, it's not Harayat Mekudeshes Li Bezeh, Bekezev Zeh. It's not the kinyan that creates the kiddushin, the utterance of the mouth creates the kiddushin. And I want to show you where, although it's further on, and we'll get to it later on, I want to give you a sense of how far Rashi goes with this. On Daf Zayin Amud Aleph, there's a Gemara. The Gemara goes on into an interesting question as to whether, if a man says, Hare at Mekudeh, Hiskadshi li lechatsiech. This is on Daf Zayin Amud Aleph. I'll just leave the Gemara outside of them. Importantly, will be to see the Rashi. He says, Hare at Mekudeshes, Hiskadshi li lechetsiech. I want to marry half of you. That's what he says. I only want to marry half of you. Does that work or not? The Gemara says, Mekudeshes. So Rashi says on that, and then the Gemara goes on and says,
the Gemara says the opposite. If he says, half of me is marrying you, that works. That's a kiddushin. If he says, I'm marrying half of you, that's not a kiddushin. So the Gemara asks further on, why doesn't it work the same as hekdesh? In the case of hekdesh, if you makdish a part of an animal, with the kedusha of the hekdesh is mispashet. We say it spreads. So right, you makdish a part of the animal, but the whole animal becomes hekdesh. Why doesn't it work the same with a woman? To say lechetzich, you're partially married to me. Why doesn't it just spread around the whole one? So Rashi says on that, nifshetu to Rashi about 10 lines from the bottom, nifshetu kedushik bekulo. Ki omar chetzich mekudeshesli, toho mekudeshes beloshen hekdesh ka omalo. He used the loshen hekdesh, so we should apply the same principles as hekdesh. Rashi says that's how far Rashi goes with the parallel between kiddushin and hekdesh. Loshen chachomim. It's not just loshen chachomim because they like the word. It's loshen chachomim because the chachomim are describing what really takes place when he uses loshen mekudeshes. When he says Hare at Mekudeshes, he's Mekadesh her with those words, and it has a similar effect to Hekdesh, except that Hekdesh is Mekadesh her to Shomayim, and here he's Mekadesh her to himself. But the process is a process not too different from what happens in the case of Hekdesh. So Rashi goes way beyond Tosfos does, even in this Tosfos. Tosfos gives two ways of understanding Mekudeshes. Rashi goes even beyond that and says the words Mekudeshes have an effect on the status of the woman, not too different from the effect that hekdesh has, the words of hekdesh have, on the status of something that one is makdesh.
That's also true over here, though, when he's
top of it. On the second, you have two owners. They own it anyway. And they own it from joint or whatever. And Reuven says, I'm leaving Kadosh Mashiach. The whole way owner was in that.
Yes, because the ownership is divided. But with the, so you can have the mispatching.
Misha can't be owner.
Correct. And therefore, it should have the same din as an animal which is owned by one person, and that owner is makdish part of the animal, and the hektish spreads. Why doesn't that work here as well? What the last piece that Tosfos comes on to, if the word mekudeshes then has that understanding, what would happen if one used it for an object, not for a woman? If a person says this talis should be mekudesh me, would that work? If kiddushin is a loshon used for kinyan, would it work if you used it generally? No, the gabi ishu b'mar de misyach kedis liyus lihine seres l'chol. There's something unique about this kinyan. There are many things that are unique about this kinyan, but one of the things that are unique about this kinyan is that the moment it's yours, it's also to everybody else. That's not so with other kinyonim. If I'm koine an object, it doesn't become osu to you. You have to ask my permission to use it, but you're allowed to use it. It's not a question. There's no issur in the Torah. There's no benod in the Mokum about using it. There's no issur in the Tashmish. But for an issue there is. And that's why the word mekudeshes is a valid word to use for this type of kinyan. That's why the Loshon Chacham Tosfos is still staying with the idea that the kinyan is the main thing. What's really happening is kinyan. Why do we use Loshon Kiddushin? Because this kinyan triggers issur. And Kiddushin has a Loshon Issur, so Kiddushin is a valid word to use here. But if you're being Kona Talis, that does not trigger Issur, and since it does not trigger Issur, you cannot use the word Kiddushin. Amar b'kikir v'talis lo yishayich l'meimer hachi, that wouldn't apply there. So let's move on. This nihacha ish kone. Let's say here ha ish kone in that case. So now we've understood why we've got to say ish mekadesh over there. Here let's say ish kone. Understand what we're using kinyan here and why we're using kiddushin there, but let's go into the active rather than the passive. On to the going. Mishum de kaboyle mis besefer bekone satma bedido tananami reisha bedido. One is just a stylistic answer. Keep consistency in the Mishnah. V'nisni ha ish kone umakne. This is a way you could get around the style. Because one of the ways she's koine herself is through Mrs. Abal, and he doesn't play a part in that. So again, stylistically, the consistency of the Mishnah would be to say, that enables the whole Mishnah to read in a consistent way, and it's just about style. Don't learn anything specific out of it. It's just the way. So sometimes we've got to look at a Mishnah and say, it's stylistic and there's nothing you can learn from it. And sometimes, other than the importance of style, which is in itself is something to learn, that there's such a thing when you're communicating, when you're articulating, we're talking about articulating, there's such a thing as being able to articulate in a way that is stylistically correct. Why is that important? Why is style important in articulation? Why would you say that that's important? A better understanding. The purpose of articulation is for the other person. Make it easy for the other person to understand. That's part of what we need to do when we articulate an idea. Part of the idea is to make it easy for the other person to understand. So that's part of the chesed of speech. Put thought into the other person's ability to understand what it is that you're saying or writing. But there is another way you can say that this is not about style, this is about content. And that what we've got to be sure over here is to understand that this ha'ish, if it would have said ha'ish koine, there would have been a sense of maybe he can do it bal kocho, he can do it without her active participation. Comes to teach us ha'ish or nikneis, no, she's actually got to participate in this transaction. She's got her das has to be involved as well. It's not only his das. So how would we have thought that? Where do we have another example of something you can be koine without the das of the makne? Can you think of such a case? How can you be koine something from somebody if they don't want to sell it to you? So by Yavama you've got it, and the Gemara goes on to discuss that case. But in any other case, you can't have sold it. The seller has to agree to sell. And you can talk about what happens if you force the seller to sell, but still at the end of the day he says yes. At some point there's got to be das, there's got to be some participation of the seller. What would have made me think if I say Haish Koine Sasode, I don't say maybe that means Bal Kocho. Haish Koine Sashor, I don't say maybe that means Bal Kocho de Makne. What does the Gemara mean? I might have thought that you could be kona her without her das. What's the Gemara really wanting us not to think? In other words, don't think that she's the object being purchased. The fact that you need her das tells us that she's the makno. She's not the object. She's not the chefte. That's what if it would have said, ha'ish koine is ha'isho, I would have thought that the isho is like a sodeh.
The problem is, if she's a
cotton, he's not being koine, her. What is he being koine? Simply the right to a choice. That's the only. And who's the makna of that right? She is. A father if she's a ketana, or she if she's not. She's the makna, and we need her das. So what the Gemara is telling us here is not just the simple thing of don't think this could be done without her das. The Gemara is saying don't think she's the object, and therefore das is not needed. She is not the object. She's an equal. She's an equal transacting on a 1-to-1 level. She's what? Well, together, in the sense of the negotiation.
No, the deal's done.
Yeah, and if he says no, the deal's also not done.
She's the machlia, she's not an equal partner.
Why? Both of them have equal say. Both of them equal.
She's the senior partner.
Why is she the senior partner?
Because if she says no.
And if he says no?
He says no also.
There's two parties to a transaction. They negotiate
no,
equal.
She doesn't have the opportunity to say no.
So, and if he says no, he doesn't have the opportunity to say no either. So there's no, each one can say yes. You need them both to say yes. If either one of them says no, it doesn't happen. Why? Because she's not an object, she's a makno. She is the authority, being makno, a certain right, and that right is the right of her choice. That's what we want to avoid. Says Tosfos. Yes, so the Rishonim want to bring that here. That in addition to that, there's a level of das that she needs that in other kinyonim you don't even require. That's what you mean. And here, if she's forced and she gives the okay, if she's forced, it wouldn't work at all. It would be an added reason of what the Gemara wants us to not understand. Yeah. It's just that in the case of a field or another object, you can force a person to sell. Not that it's an okay thing to do, but the sale is valid. Mm-hmm. Because we consider at the end of the day, the person did agree. The person kind of agreed not to lose their life, to give the field rather than lose their life. But if a woman is held ransom and forced to agree to Kiddushin, the Gemara, what we're learning here from the Gemara is, no, that's called Bar Kocha. Her das has to be active, it has to be willing, and she can't be forced to do that. Yeah, Gittin is a little different. Yeah, Gittin is a little different. Itana, so it says Tosfos. Itana koina havam in the bar kocha. Ask Tosfos for afa gav the tani ha'ish mekadesh, the mashma bar kocha. So then, how do we work ha'ish mekadesh? Why is the Gemara not worried about saying ha'ish mekadesh later on in the Masechta? There it seems to be okay. How would we answer that?
It's clarified in here.
So Tosfos' answer is we already know that it's not. How else could we answer based on the way we learned last week and this week based on Shitas Rashi? According to Rashi, this isn't a kasha. Why is this not a kasha? Because what did we say the Mekadish is? Aish Mekadish, the Eloshim Kiddushin, the Eloshim Rabbonin, the also La Kula Amma. That's the Dibur. What did we say? The Amiro is unilateral. When it comes to the act of the Kiddushin, with Rashi we split it. With Tosfos it's one. With Tosfos there's a Kinyan, and the outcome of the Kinyan is Issur. The way we've been learning it in Shitas Rashi is the two things are happening parallel and simultaneous. There's a Kinyan and there's an Amiro. And the two things affect her in different ways. And the Amiro is unilateral. He has to say it. She doesn't have to say Amen. She doesn't have to say I agree. She has to be in the Kabbal of the Kinyan. The Kinyan has to be a bilateral transaction in which we need her das. So when we use Koine, we've got to say Aisha Nikne so that we understand that she's a party to that Kinyan. But when we say Ha'ish Mekadesh, we're talking about the unilateral statement, like Hekdesh. By Hekdesh, you don't need the Beis Hamikdash to say anything. It's all done by the person who does it. There we wouldn't be worried. So Lashitas Rashi, it isn't an issue. But according to Tosfos, where the Loshon of Kiddushin simply clarifies the transaction taking place in Kinyan, we should be worried about Ha'ish Mekadesh. Why is that any different from Ha'ish Kena? Answers Tosfos so correctly that we've already dealt with it. Once the Gemara is clarified over here, then we've got it. I want to move further to, because we'll do the whole Gemara, because the Gemara is fairly easy Gemara. The Gemara goes on to say, So we're going on in this meticulous analysis of the words chosen by the Mishnah. Why Sholosh? Sholosh is Nekeva. Sholosh is the feminine form. Sholosh Shol would be the masculine form. And normally we use masculine form wherever possible. So why do we say here, Ha'isho Niknes B'Sholosh Derochim? Derochim seems to be like a masculine noun also. So, not, although from the plural you can't always tell that a masculine plural ending doesn't necessarily mean that the word is masculine, but it would seem that it's a masculine word, and that's the norm, is to use the word, to use it in the masculine form. So Ha'isha Nikna is B'Sholosh Drachim, it should be. Why B'Sholosh Drachim? Is the Mishnah trying to tell us something? Is this something a little unusual that the Mishnah is trying to tell us? Answers the Gemara. Mishum derech loshen nekeva. You're wrong. Derech is loshen nekeva. Good simple grammar. Derech is loshen nekeva, and therefore the right word to use is sholosh, not shlosha. Dichtiv v'edat olam es haderech yelchu bo. And the proof is from the pasuk of v'edat olam es haderech yelchu bo, not boy. So you see that derech is loshen nekeva, and that's why it's simple grammar. You made a grammatical mistake, a grammatical error in your question, thinking that derech is masculine. That's not true. Derech is feminine. Says the Gemara, "Ve'alahod tanya b'shiva drachim boitkines hazav." It's not as if we never use the masculine form with derech. We have a brisa that says b'shiv od drachim boitkines hazav. That in order to establish whether a person is in fact a zav or not, one has to try and figure out what the cause of the ziva was. And we say b'shiva drachim. There are seven different ways that we can check, and there it's in the masculine. Nisni sheva mishum de kaboy le mitni derech. So says the Gemara, it should, if sheva is, if derech is feminine, if derech is sheva, then it should be sheva mishum de kaboy le mitni derech. Vashkechan derech difri loshen zocher. So a grammatical error. You think that derech can only be feminine? No, there are times where derech can be masculine. So derech is one of these difficult ones. Dichtiv b'derech echad yetzu elecha uveshiva derochim yonusu lefonecha. So we see, in fact, even in the posuk, that the word derech can have a masculine form. So now derech is ambiguous. It can be one or the other. How do you understand from the Gemara so far? Is there a primary and is there a secondary usage of the word? Is the masculine and feminine equally balanced? Or is it primarily one and secondarily is the other? From the Lashon of the Gemara, can you see anything? Primarily feminine. What makes you say that? Oh, they're both in the Torah. They're both in the Torah. What is it that brings the pasuk? So what is if you just look at the Lashon of the Gemara? Yes, absolutely right. Because if you look at the Loshen, in the first case it says, Mishum de kaboy le mitna derech, v'derech Loshen de kevo hu. That's a statement of fact. Derech is Loshen de kevo. Later on it says, v'ashkechon derech de ikri Loshen zacha. That there are exceptions to the rule that it's a Loshen de kevo. So what we're establishing is the norm is de kevo, and there are exceptions when it's a Loshen zacha. And that's why the Gemara says, ihochi, in that case, then if it's primarily feminine, then we've got to figure out why it's used masculine and when it's used masculine. Let's have a look and see. The psukim is not a kasha. Why? The case of Torah is in the keva. Torah is feminine. Dichtiv Torah Hashem Temimo Meshivas Nofesh. Because of Lobeloshin the Keva. So in the posuk of Vehodata Lohemes Haderech Yelchu Bo, we're talking about Torah. Torah is feminine, and therefore when we use Derech there, we're going to use it feminine. Hosam Demi Milchoma Koi, the Darko Shil Ish Lasos Milchoma, Vein Darko Shil Ish Lasos Milchoma, because of Lobeloshin Zocher. But when we talk about Bederech Echod Yetu Elecho, Veshiva Dochim Yonusu Lefonecho, we're talking about soldiers in the army, and that's Derech. Ish is to go into Milchama, not Derech Isha, and that's why we use those psukim. Let's just understand a little bit of what it's saying. When the Gemara says darko shel ish lasas mechoma, then darko shel ish lasas mechoma. What do we mean by that's the derech? It's generally
men who fight war.
Does darko mean general? And if the norm changes, so we were talking a little bit earlier, what happens? So today you'll say, well, now today women have the rights to get into the army and they go into the front lines as well. So are we saying it's no longer darko shilish and darko shilisho? The derech has changed. What does derech really mean?
Nature.
It's nature. It's natural. So what we've got to look at is what is natural and what isn't natural. So if we look at derech as meaning this is natural. It's darko shel ish lasos milchama. So why is that? Why is it natural for a man to get into milchama, and it's not natural for a woman to get into milchama? What would you say? What's it going to do with their nature? Sorry. So conquest is part of the male nature. That's part of the male nature. The conquest, his ego. That's part of the darko shel ish milchama, to fight for your position and to vanquish an enemy. That's part of what a man does naturally. That's part of human nature in a male. It's not part of a woman. Does that mean a woman's not capable of it? No, of course a woman's capable of it. But if we say en darko shel isha, then what we're saying is she loses her femininity in the process. That's the problem with it. But yes, an isha can be milchan. A woman can become very aggressive, but when you get a woman who becomes very aggressive, she ceases to lose her feminine charm. That she doesn't have that anymore. That's not darko. That's not what comes naturally to her. So her ability is quite interesting in business. When women started going into senior positions in business, they were under the impression was created by the male world, that they had to be like men in order to be successful. So they became aggressive and they became nasty and they tried to act like men at great cost to themselves and usually not that successfully. And much later on, there was a movement to say, no, you know what, if you're a woman, don't try and imitate them. Be a woman. And use your strengths as a woman. That you might be able to do in business in certain positions, but you can't do that in milchoma. In milchoma, it's not possible to fight a milchoma using your femininity. That's not, certainly not in a moral way. Yeah, there are a few, but she used her femininity. They used their femininity. Something was a little bit different, and the way they got to the men, the way they conquered, wasn't the way a man does it. In those situations, they use their femininity, and it was also, I'm sure, it was an unusual situation. Certainly, if a woman's life is threatened, she's going to become aggressive, and she's going to do whatever she needs to do. But it's not natural. So it's not saying it's not possible for a woman to do it. It's just saying it's in darker. So I'm saying she can't go to milchama. It's not natural. She loses her feminine nature if she goes into war. So Tosfos asks, let's have a look at Tosfos. Hocha de b'teira kovei teira ifi loshon mekeva v'im toma milchoma namri ifi loshon mekeva dichtiv atich v'da milchoma el shor v'atosfos v'da milchoma v'oid. Look at the second cash is what I want to note. Ki hechi deka'oma darko shil ish lasus milchoma v'loi isho hachinami darko shil ish lilma teira v'loi isho. Why doesn't it say Torah is also masculine? Because darko shil ish lilma teira v'loi isho. It's natural for a man to learn Torah, not for a woman. Now, why would that be? Why would that be nature? If we're looking at darko as nature, why is it not natural for a woman to learn Torah? What's unnatural about the woman learning Torah?
It's natural for a woman to be home with her children.
That doesn't mean she can't learn Torah, and a woman who doesn't have children.
Gives birth and has, but I'm saying, for naturally, a woman who gives birth. I'm not talking about today where you have formula. We're talking about back then when a woman had to literally feed the child. The child was
yeah, but until that time, she could go to yeshiva for a couple of years, the same as the men used to go to yeshiva before they got married. She could go to yeshiva for a couple of years and then take care of the children later on. Why is it unnatural for a woman to? What's the nature? What is the natural part of a woman not learning? So we know of the phrase of Milchamta Shel Torah, don't we? That the Torah is also, it's a conquest of ideas. There's a certain stubbornness that you need in Torah. A woman can do that. It's not that a woman can't do that. Just what happens if a woman is effective in the way she would learn, she would lose her femininity. If a woman's going to argue with a chavrusa, and a woman's going to become stubborn on her viewpoints, and she's going to stand, it's just, yeah, you can do it. It's just not darker. It's not darker to do it. So why, if it's not darker, she'll isho lilma Torah, why don't we just say the same thing? And therefore, Torah is masculine. Because in Torah we're talking about not the the learners of Torah. We're learning about Torah. And Ari said early on to me, it's really very nice, the idea that that we see in Tosfos, that the Torah itself, the object of Torah is called the Derech. Torah is not a thing. Torah is a process. Torah is a journey. Torah is a pathway. But the Torah itself is a Derech. It's not just the Derech to get there. That when you're learning, that the learning is the Derech. The Torah itself, that's what Torah is. Torah is a Derech. Torah is not just a body of laws. Torah is a Derech. And when this pasuk talks about it, it's not talking about the lomdim of Torah, as it is in the case of Milchama. Over there, in the case of Milchama, it's talking about those who are going, but the lomdim, because of Yetzu Alecha Anshe Milchama, but Yetzu Alecha is talking about the people in war. So what is the subject of the sentence? The subject of the sentence in the case of Torah is the Torah, and the subject of the sentence in the case of the Milchama are the soldiers. Soldiers are men. Torah is feminine, and Torah is a Derech. It's interesting again that Tosfos Chachmei Anglia. It's just so interesting that the Tosfos Chachmei Anglia are so modern in this sugya over here. They say, so you see from here that it is Derech Isha Lilma Torah. So you think that's where it comes from? In around women who could learn, he says Derech Isha Lilma Torah. That's interesting. So he takes the view. It is, you see from here, except he proves it not from the women around him, he proves it from the Gemara itself, from Tosfos' Kasha, which he answers differently. So Tosfos answers the Kasha this way. He answers the Kasha and says, because it is the Derech of a woman to learn Torah, there's nothing wrong, there's nothing unnatural about a woman learning Torah. It's just the Gzeiras HaKosuf, which we learn further on in Daf Chavtes. V'shinantum levanecho, that the mitzvah of Limud HaTorah is to a man or to a woman. She can learn, it's just not a mitzvah. It's not one of the mitzvahs that she's mechuyevus in there. It's not a question of darkness. So we have a machlokes, Tosfos and... Yeah, so we've got to go into that because there's a machlokes tanoim and amiroim around that as to what exactly that means in the whole mitzvah of hakel, what the purpose is of taking anoshim, noshim the taf. What do they get out of it? The Gemara says noshim. I understand they go to hear the Torah. What about the taf? So there's a certain type of learning which is not tiflis for a woman to learn. So there's certain learning which is tiflis, certain which isn't. But v'shinantum levanecha, the Gemara learns further on, is a miut, that it doesn't apply to women. It says the Tosfos Chachmei Anglia, that's a gzeiras HaKosuf. It's not because of derech, it's not because it's unnatural. So it's really interesting. We have a machlokes Tosfos, we have a machlokes Rishonim as to whether the limud haTorah is natural for a woman, or limud haTorah is also it's not a mitzvah for a woman. It's also not. It's a different thing, but it's not a mitzvah for the woman. According to Tosfos, it isn't derech and isha. It isn't derech or shilisha limud haTorah, just as it isn't derech or shilisha to go to the army. But we're not talking about the learners of Torah. We're learning talking about the Torah itself. According to Tosfos Chachmei Anglia, it is Darka Shilisha to learn Torah, and the reason that she doesn't learn is because of a miut. We'll have to leave it over here. For next week. I'll finish off this little piece, and the part that we'll focus on is the Tosfos at the bottom of Gimel Amud Aleph. So the issue is that will be around Chalipin. If we already know that Shoveh Kesef works, and as I mentioned in the notes, you don't worry too much about the Esrog and the Koy and all of that you'll learn through, but it's not the Iker of the Limud. And since we're trying to keep a pace, don't get distracted into that area, although it's interesting. If you've got the time, the Tosfos are amazing. But if you haven't got the time, just work through that and get to the Chalipin. If we've already learned that Shoveh Kesef works Ki Kesef, why doesn't Chalipin work? What is the difference between Chalipin and Shoveh Kesef? And that's built around the Tosfos at the bottom of the page and the Rashi at the top of the next page are the things that we're going to focus most of our attention on.